What, I guess, was the motivation for you to introduce this ordinance, which exempts public unions or union contracts from being a part of any sort of financial impact statement?
I guess I'd have to go back a little bit into my background. A former FOP president, which is a labor organization that represents the police department. And so I've had a lot of experience negotiating contracts over many years. And so when Councilman Miller started bringing up the issue of financial impact statements as it related to those contracts, I began to think, well, that could be a problem if something like that were to get out and become a public record. And because that would allow for the other collective bargaining units, there are 26 of them within city government, to then see those and then start negotiations at where that financial impact statement was for that other bargaining unit, which in turn takes away good faith negotiations, basically, and which is what all negotiations in collective bargaining is based from in this city.
Councilman James, how are union contracts different from other negotiations that the mayor enters in with for the city?
Well, I would say that one of the ways that it's different is that you're negotiating wages, hours, and working conditions for the employees of the city as a group, as a unit. And so you enter into those negotiations keeping in mind that that particular group of people have a specific job that is different from another group of people that work in city government. For example, the people that are the electricians are not concerned about the things that the police department's concerned about, the police officers are concerned about. So they have two different ways that they view government and their employer and the employees, depending on what group that is.
So unlike, for example, the city's contract negotiations with a business or for economic development, these negotiations, from your view, are different because it's the city working with its people.
That's correct. And you're talking about people, you're talking about the employees of the city. And so that it, I think it adds another layer that you don't have in normal just financial contract negotiations.
This question would be for both of you. And Councilman Miller, I'd like to ask it to you first. Do taxpayers have a right to receive a financial impact statement for union contracts once they're finalized?
Well, I think certainly taxpayers have a right to know how their government operates, how much it costs them, and in cases of downturns where you have to make tough choices about the future, the more information the taxpayers as well as the council has, the better decision can be made. I would disagree with Councilman James that it's not all about collective bargaining. And from our standpoint, it's not about collective bargaining at all. It's about transparency and accountability and fiscal responsibility because, yes, it does involve people, but 50% of Metro's budget is people-based. It's payment, it's salaries, it's benefits, it's pensions, health care, et cetera. That's 50% of our entire budget is that. And 75% of our employees are in one of these 26 bargaining units.
Councilman James, the same question to you. Does the public have a right to know, the right to receive a financial impact statement for union contracts?
The public has a right to know how much their government is spending and to an open government. And that's why the contracts are posted online so that the public can click on there on the internet and read every single contract, every single word of it is in there. And that's why, yes, they do have a right to know about their contracts and what their government's doing.
Councilman Miller, this is a critical question for you, though. You said that regardless of it, whether it's a union contract or not, the taxpayers have a right to know.
Absolutely. I think so.
And but let me ask this question, though. In that regard, you're not a member of the contracts committee, but you have been at a number of those meetings and asked for a financial impact statement for at least two that have been negotiated with the city thus far under Mayor Fisher. Have you asked to see any financial impact statements for non-union contracts?
I've been very aggressive in terms of questioning the number of no-bid contracts that that government has, the number of sole source contracts and non-competed contracts. So from that standpoint, I've been just as aggressive questioning architects and engineer contracts as I have been on the collective bargaining.
But have you
contracts.
Requested to see any the details or a financial impact statement for a contract that wasn't involving a labor union?
Well, actually, no. And here's why. Because the ordinance that was passed in 2004, Ordinance 11, did not require a financial impact statement if its impact was budgeted. And generally speaking, the contracts we have with architects and engineers are single-year contracts. They're one-year contracts, and they're essentially assumed in the current year budget. What makes collective bargaining different is we're making agreements effectively covering about half of our cost out 2 and 3 and 4 years.
Now, the reason that's interesting to me is that I know that one of the charges that Council Democrats have made and a number of union leaders has made is they've brought up particularly your insistence on seeing these labor contract agreements. It seems to me that you're indicating that the problem is with collective bargaining, that the problem is that not because of you have an issue with collective bargaining or labor itself, but that because those union contracts extend past 1 year. So this is about the labor union contracts and the issue of collective bargaining, isn't it?
Well, this, from the standpoint that affects future budget, future years that have not been budgeted, they affect 3 and 4 years out. It's a financial responsibility and transparency issue, but it's the contemplation is focused on transparency. It has nothing to do with whether or not we collectively bargain or not. No one, to my knowledge, has questioned collective bargaining.
But it seems, though, that the transparency is the transparency issue with collective bargaining, not transparency overall with other contracts.
Well, mainly because other contracts are typically 1 year contracts, and therefore they are indeed contemplated within the budget have passed, typically.
Councilman James, let me ask you, it seems that some of your colleagues on the council, I don't know if you particularly have taken this viewpoint, but they have said that council Republicans are being aggressive towards and union busting. I know Councilwoman Mary Woolridge, sort of in some very partisan language, indicated that she feels that the council Republicans are going after unions. Do you feel that Councilman Miller and his Republican colleagues are going after unions?
I cannot put all his Republican colleagues in the same boat because I've not heard from all of them. I can say that I feel that this particular issue is an issue in which many other places that have collective bargaining have dealt with the drama in Wisconsin and Ohio, started out with financial impact statements. And to me, it's a thing that weakens collective bargaining, it weakens unions, and it's not good for the working families related to those unions.
But Councilman James, during his testimony to the Budget Committee, Mark L. Miller, Director of the Labor Management for the mayor, he said, quote, "The days of Me Toos are gone." I know one of your chief arguments was that the problem with a financial impact statement is that one union can say, hey, they got this, why don't we have this? But Mr. Mark Miller mentioned that happening one time under the previous administration when former Mayor Jerry Abramson was there. That was without a financial impact study. Why would the exemption, it seems the exempting and not having a financial impact statement would not prevent a union from doing Me Too, and Mr. Miller indicated that a Me Too, in fact, did go on without an impact statement.
That's correct. The financial impact, the Me Too was basically a merger Me Too. It was when we merged city governments from the county.
But it seems that the exemption in that situation didn't stop the unions from doing the thing that, I guess your chief argument that the exemption would prevent.
That was actually a common sense Me Too. It had to do with merging the city police department and the county police department. And if we weren't having the same levels of benefits and pay and working conditions, we would still essentially have two separate police departments.
Councilman Miller, do the exemption of the Me Toos or the exemption of the financial impact statements, does that in your mind disqualify or get rid of the Me Too situation? Because as Councilman James admitted earlier, these contracts are public record. All one has to do is be a qualified CPA, and I'm sure the unions have a number of people who are qualified to go through that. A Me Too situation could still go on even without an exemption, couldn't it?
To me, it's irrelevant to the subject. The subject we're talking about is fiscal responsibility and transparency, and to believe that this is in any way related to what was done in Wisconsin, where it was alleged the war on the government unions. We're in Louisville. That's a city. Wisconsin's a state. Wisconsin is two or three municipal areas which are, like Louisville, very democratic, several of them are heavily union. What happened for the state of Wisconsin could not and would never happen in Madison or in Milwaukee. Well, we're more like Milwaukee than we are like Wisconsin, and I would say that for that reason, to even think this has anything to do with an attack on collective bargaining is disingenuous.
Councilman James, it seems that the indication from some of your colleagues that this is a war on workers of sorts, does that pan out? Does that have any actual legitimacy, considering that council Republicans have not indicated that they want to undo collective bargaining or anything else? They simply just want to see a three-line sheet of paper that will state what you have admitted people could figure out if they had a calculator. Why not just give us the answer in one sheet of paper when you admit, and other council Democrats have admitted, that we can figure this information out if we just had our due diligence?
Well, I would say that when the Republicans in Wisconsin started this, and they started with financial impact statement, they were talking about transparency and responsible government. They didn't ever mention this is a war against workers. And I would like to correct my colleague, Councilman Miller, when he said a war against government workers. It's war against workers, period. Of course they're not going to say we're going to go out and attack unions and workers. The transparency flag, accountability, and all those things are what the financial impact statement is said to be about. But it has proven time after time after time that this was the building block that led to the next step, which led to the next step, which led to the end.
To me, that's a red herring, because the issue at the end of the day is looking out 2 and 3 and 4 years in the future. If business downturns continue, if our tax revenues continue to lag, our needs for housing, for our need to address the homeless situation and the many needs of this community, we're going to have to make some hard decisions at some point in the future. And we need to know, what are we doing today that's going to impact those decisions that we need to make in 3 and 4 years? We're limiting our flexibility today if we do that.
It seems that the Republicans are saying this is about transparency, mm-hmm. obviously.
Correct.
And you're saying that, no, this is really just about a sort of silent war on workers.
Yes.
But objectively, without the asking you, I guess, to take your political hat off for a moment here, would a financial impact statement be easier for me as a regular citizen to know the full ramifications of a union-negotiated contract than without?
Would it be easier? It does not require to be an accountant. It's not very complex. You can look in the contract. All you have to do is add, multiply, and divide, and you have the numbers. So would it be easier if it was completely laid out? Maybe. I could say maybe to that.
It's sort of like a math problem back in high school that I could figure it out for myself as the teacher would want me to, or I could just flip to the back of the book and there's the answer.
Yes, if that's what you want it to equate it to.
I think it's a bit more complex than that. And I was a CPA in a prior life, and I tried to do this on one of the two contracts that have come up. And believe me, it's not easy. Yes, you do have lines of showing, all right, here's what each of the 27 job classes is going to make this year, next year, and the year after that, and the year after that. But then you've also got the impact of changes in work rules. You have the changes in the people that have 1 to 4 years experience. Well, they get a bump when they go to the fifth year, and those in the ninth year get a bump when they go to the 10th year, et cetera. And unless you have a listing of the employees with you, which, by the way, that's available online. So I went out using the LouisvilleCheckbook.com, pulled that data into a spreadsheet, and just tried to work through it on my own. It wasn't easy. It'd be very few citizens that would either have the knowledge or have the time or inclination to do that.
You brought up LouisvilleCheckbook.com, and I thought that was interesting because your predecessor, Hal Heiner, and Councilman Ken Fleming, another Republican on the council, were really adamant about having those expenditures publicly disclosed and had the support of some union leaders. But at the budget hearing, the fire union, the police union, and others who had previously been supportive of that transparency are saying, no, this is not about transparency. In their view, people who had previously supported Republican initiatives for openness in government are now saying, this is not about openness. This is about harming unions. How do you respond to that?
Well, I can't really respond to some of that because I don't think really the fire and certainly not the FOP have been out in front on this. There have been the Teamsters and AFSCME and some of the others
that
have been
out
front.
Wasn't the fire union spokesman?
Yeah, you're right. He was one of the people.
He along with Councilman James in support of his ordinance.
Well, actually, the fire and police are both leaders in this.
But in any event, the information that we have online is tremendous. I know Kentucky, and I believe Louisville has even been recognized for the level of transparency we've achieved, because you can see contracts, you can see individual employee salaries, you can see what David and I make, in a year. You can see payments for the last 3 or 4 or 5 years. I don't believe that this is they have a great concern about the level of transparency we have today.
But the fact that those previous unions that had supported those transparency initiatives, now that they don't, and that they're saying this is not about transparency, it's about workers, does that undermine the Republican argument that this is about openness?
Well, I don't think so, because, again, I think that it's a bit of an overreaction to what they saw in Wisconsin and some other states that just don't, it doesn't apply to Louisville.
I would say that those people that live in Wisconsin now are saying that we wish we would have reacted in time to know what was coming. And now here in Louisville, because of what happened there, we know what's coming.
Councilman Rick Blackwell, I think, made an interesting point at the budget meeting. He said this is really just about the mistrust between the two parties on the council. And very rarely do you see this sort of partisan debate at the council level.
I would agree. Jerry and I are friends, and we're not in here beating each other up. But we talk, and this happens to be a particular issue that philosophically we have differences of opinions on.
Councilman James, I know one criticism that Councilman Miller has forwarded, in one of our interviews with Councilman Miller, he said this is often about paying back union bosses. Do you belong to a union currently?
Well, let me just first say that I believe union bosses is a derogatory term, and I take offense to that. But second, let me say we have people that take their time from their lives and their families to help lead labor organizations. And they're known as labor leaders, not union bosses.
Do you belong to a union currently that does negotiations with the city?
I belong to an organization that's a labor organization, yes, the FOP.
And that's the one for the city police department?
Yes.
Do you feel that that's a conflict of interest for you to propose this ordinance and or to vote on it?
No, because I don't derive any benefits from that. I'm simply a member of it still. I work in another organization now, so I don't derive benefits from the FOP with the Louisville Police Department, the Louisville Metro Police Department. I work for the University of Louisville.
So you're an honorary member more so than you don't receive any sort of direct benefits.
That's correct.
I did see, though, that in your campaign contributions from 2010, you received about $4,700 and from a number of local unions, including AMSFI, the Teamsters, the firefighters, and I believe current FOP President Officer David Mutchler.
Mm-hmm.
Does that present any conflict for you, or was that any motivation for you to introduce this ordinance because you received such heavy support from public unions?
No. As a matter of fact, I don't even look at that as a support from a union. I look at it as support. That money came from my constituents. My constituents are union members. They work in unions. They are labor members. And so they pay their dues to those organizations, and they vote and say, hey, he's my councilman. I want you all to support him. And then they vote and they decide that's what they're going to do. So no is your answer.
Do you feel that this is influencing their decision on this ordinance at all?
It's a tough to question people's motives. And I think they give to him because they know he agrees with them. Just that's why the home builders, you know, give money to people because they think they agree with them. So I'm not going to, you know, engage in that. It does raise, though, in the mind of citizens, is there a conflict of interest there? And our negotiator, the city's negotiator, was formerly a negotiator for some unions, which it seemed to me it's almost like the fox watching the hen house. This is half the budget, and citizens need to know what's in it. What's half their tax money going for? And I think, again, it's they have a right to know.